we're back on the Money Matters Radio Network. How are you on this Wednesday, June night? Your host, co-host Brendan King, the one and only Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices out in Worcester, Massachusetts. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I don't know if we could take another one. You know, I don't know if it could be another me. I think my wife would just go crazy. There's no way. She always tells me no one else can handle you.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't. I guess I don't seem that intense. No, and she means it in a good way. She means it in
right.
a good way.
Right.
I guess as only she and I could understand that.
I know. I'm sitting here thinking, okay, what do I say to that?
It's kind of like, hey, Brendan, you're fat, but in a good way.
I'm like, how do I follow this up? Okay.
I always like to stun you early there, too.
Yeah, that's a good one. That was a really good one. Nobody else can hit. No, but there is no two Brendan Kings.
There actually, you know what's funny? I think I sat next to a, I know I sat next to a Brendan King at the bar, but he had a different middle initial. So
that's different.
Yeah, he was Brendan G and I'm Brendan J. So of course you get to the bar and you're nervous enough as it is, and then you get there and you sit down and you look at your little name tag and it's I'm like, come on.
You know, Brendan,
that's wrong. Where do we go from here?
Well,
I can't get my name right. I'm not gonna go really much further. I mean, just hang it up.
What I would have thought of right away was what if my test scores get screwed up with his, and what if right? What if they get the wrong?
Knowing the academic I was probably hoping that.
Oh, okay. So it's like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Hey, don't cheat off me. You know? But no, that was a. So there is another Brendan King, but I. I don't know if there's another Brendan King.
Yeah. How long have you been doing financial planning?
Well, I've been doing this for since I took the bar and got sworn in 1997. I haven't done anything else, any other area of law. So just estate planning, estate administration, trust administration, aspirate, all the stuff that goes, I guess what you would say, trust and estate lawyer. It's really been the only thing that I've been interested in. I think I may have even mentioned to you I had explored other areas of law, I did a couple of internships at the DA's office. Things to prove that I did not want to do anything else. You know, sometimes, you know, when someone says, oh, you know, I didn't really get much out of that internship, my feeling is if you know that you don't want to do it, you got a lot out of it. Because you didn't, like, spend 15 years of your life doing something and then saying, you know what, I just don't want to do it. I got kind of stuck or roped into this. I kind of knew in law, by the time I was done with law school, this is what I wanted to do. So really my third year, I really focused in a lot of my classes on this. And then I got out, I started working, and then I went to the BU tax program at night, BU Law School tax program at night, to kind of put the old tax degree in there. Because mm-hmm. a lot of what we do is tax-based.
Yeah, it is.
One of those parts that Rubik's Cube we're always talking about, one of those sides. So, you know, really, yeah, I think right out of the working gate, I knew that's what I wanted to do. Did I know I wanted to do it before law school? No, I don't think anyone really does. It's kind of like when you go into college and those kids already have majors. I'm always like, yeah, we'll see. I went in bio pre-med, and you can see how that worked out.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a story in itself.
It is a story in itself, and I guess the biochems of the world kind of put a hurting on me right, my freshman year, and then quickly turned it around. And of course, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So what did I do? Go to law school, right?
Yeah,
that's what you do.
Law school, and you ended up in financial planning, which is a whole other. How did you know you wanted to go in that direction?
Yeah. So then once I got into law school, I started to take the different classes, and I was narrowing it down as I went through as to what I liked, and really. Like anything else, I think when you're studying, you're looking at some of your professors, and I had some really cool trust and estate professors, and you're just saying, I like his personality, I like the way he delivers, I like his style. And it's kind of like what was that movie, Starsky and Hutch with those two funny. I'm terrible.
Yeah, wait a minute, who played Starsky
guys?
And Hutch?
Yeah.
Oh, the actors.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good trivia.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody can call us at 888-205-2263.
We'll
it's
get
right
a call
at the
on
tip
that.
Of my tongue.
Yeah, but it's kind of one of those things where it's like they have the first fight and one of them goes, I like your moves. The other one goes, I like your style. It's kind of the same thing, you know. Hey, do you remember that scene?
Yes.
It's a great scene, and it just made me laugh.
But
it's the same type of thing. I think as you're going through, it's part of being mentored and having a lot of respect for the that area of the law just by virtue of the fact of, wow, that guy really, you know, that's a really neat area and it seems like he helps a lot of people. Or, mm-hmm. For me, it was he's, but of course it could be she's, but in my particular circumstances, it was he's. And, you know, really enjoyed my experience and learning, that particular area of law and just kept building on it.
Did you take to it right away?
I did. It's funny because, it does, sort of fit my personality a little bit because it's much more of a creative area of law. You know, you're building people's estate plans and, you know, putting things together, and someone comes to you with a scenario and you've kind of got a bunch of, you know, tubes of paint, if you will, and you come out and you kind of build something or put something on canvas and you kind of present it to them and say, hey, what do you think? And hopefully you get commissioned to put it together and you get hired to make that work. Now, the flip side of that, of course, is actually setting that into place. So, you know, launching the ship into the water and see if it floats. So, you set up the plan, and then, of course, when someone passes away, they become disabled or what have you, then you're doing the administration side, and that's where really where your documents and what you've set up and some of the creativity comes to fruition, and you can kind of see how it works out. And, you know, with and now just because you plan, even the best of plans don't work as you predict. Things happen. People maybe die sooner than you'd thought, or definitely sooner than you'd hope, or have, you know, become disabled and you may be partway through a plan or they didn't get to fund the trust or wherever you are. So, you know, I think the other nice thing about it is it's a living, breathing thing. It's kind of, I wouldn't liken it to, which a lot of people, by the way, don't realize. A lot of people think you just kind of do your estate plan, you stick it on the shelf, and that's it. But it is somewhat like wine, if you will. It's a living, breathing thing. It continues to change. And even if it's on the shelf, it's going to be different. You know, you pull it off on any particular day, it might be a little different from the day before. Although I'm sure people don't think of fine wine and estate plans as one and the same. But in that regard, I think that they are. I think that, you know, no matter where you are on your path of life, you know, it's probably different from the day before. Your views are different from the day before, and situations change like very quickly, probably a lot quicker than a wine goes bad. But
well, no, you know, two situations are alike, I would think, too, in
your absolutely.
Business.
Oh, absolutely. No two situations. And as long as I've been doing it, people will, you know, it always amazes me that they're not. And it would be great for business if they were, because we could make this more of a cookie cutter type of situation and just pump things out. And I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions we have, is a lot of clients will look at the document and say, oh, well, how long this take you to do, you know?
Uh-huh.
Say, well, you know, just because I know where to kick the machine, as a professor I once had said, just because you know where to kick the machine, that shouldn't hold, you know, you should still be able to charge what you were able to charge. If it didn't take you very long, just because it's your knowledge and your skill set and your tools that you're putting forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes time is somewhat irrelevant in this area of law, mainly because a lot of the intellectual property is built into what you've already put even before the client even walks in the door.
Mm-hmm.
So from that regard, you know, and that with that respect, it's somewhat ironic in the sense that it's never the same. It's always different. We have blended families now. It's more complicated than ever. Yet at the same time, I think there's always a perception that it's cookie cutter, which is just absolutely not.
Not at all.
So that's always an uphill battle to convince someone. I think for the most part, people do realize it's not, you know, that if nothing's, necessarily just a word we're not a word processor business.
Right.
If that were true, LegalZoom would put us all out of business. It's true. You know, I mean,
it's
companies like that, because if it was so easy, then certainly go ahead and try it. You know, I mean, it's an advisory business. It's not a document prep business. There's a big difference there.
Okay. About a minute to the break. It is Wednesday. I am with Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester. What are we going to be talking about today?
We're going to be talking about, I thought it was a great subject we talked about last week. We talked about asset protection as it pertains to the nursing home. This week we're going to talk about asset protection, but not with respect to the nursing home, but just general creditor asset protection, because, again, that's something that we look at while someone's alive, as we do and we plan for while someone's alive, as we do with respect to the nursing home. So I think these two topics, you know, last week and this week, are both almost lifetime planning events. You know, what happens if you're sued, versus what happens if you were to enter the nursing home, which is what we talked about last week.
That's a hot topic.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
A lot of people have that on their mind.
Sure.
Okay, it's 46 degrees outside. MoneyMattersBoston.com on the web is where you can find us. 888-205-2263 is the toll-free line to call in with questions for Brendan. We'll be back. This is the Money Matters Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. This is Barry Armstrong. Is poor vision getting in the way of everyday life? Stop suffering from nearsightedness, farsightedness, or astigmatism by going to see Dr. Sait of the Sait Horsley Eye Center. Whether you need a LASIK procedure, a lens exchange, conductive keratoplastic, or any other advanced procedure, Dr. Sait will sit down with you for a free consultation to assess and identify a solution. I took the advice of friends and sent my wife to see Dr. Sait for a consultation because she was having trouble with both her distance and up-close vision. He suggested that she opt for a refractive lens exchange procedure. And let me tell you, she couldn't be happier. She's both glasses and contact lens free and has perfect 20/20 vision. Call 781-979-0960 to set up an appointment for a free consultation. Just imagine life free of glasses or contacts. Call 781-979-0960. That's 781-979-0960.
Yellow Book presents Quick, Make a Decision Now, where people are asked to make snap decisions in emergency-like situations. Today's contestant is Bob, a small business owner looking to promote his business.
Hello.
We've placed him in a leaky boat in a tank with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I'm sinking.
He has 10 seconds to answer the question. What's the best way to find customers for your business? A, put one of those annoying inflatable people thingies that shake their stupid arms in front of your business. Or B, advertise in Yellow Book.
This thing is really sinking.
Then you really should make a decision now, Bob.
Okay, Yellow Book. I'm going to choose Yellow Book, obviously. It's a Yellow Book commercial. Would you get me out of this thing?
Correct. Yellow Book can help you reach customers online, on their mobile, or in the book. YellowBook.com has ratings and reviews, video ads, and more. And WebReach, Yellow Book search engine advertising program, places your ad across top search engines to drive visitors to your website. When your business needs help, the moment you need it, Yellow Book it. To advertise, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit YellowBook.com today. Sound good, Bob?
Ah!
Stings, doesn't it? All right, somebody fish him out of there.
Hi, I'm Rob Mitchell, president and founder of Coastal Finance, as well as your co-host here at Money Matters. Coastal Finance provides the key to unlocking the wealth in your home. A reverse mortgage is a government-insured loan that allows seniors 62 years and older to tap into the equity in their property to create tax-free income. There are no upfront costs and no payments for the life of the loan. Please feel free to visit us on the web at www.coastalreverse.com, where you'll find a free reverse mortgage consumer guide, important news, and product developments in the reverse mortgage industry. We also offer free in-home consultations to help you determine if a reverse mortgage may potentially be right for you. Call toll-free 888-974-6262. Again, 888-974-6262 to speak with me or one of my senior reverse mortgage consultants today and find out how much you may qualify for in a reverse mortgage.
Mass license number MC5160, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Mark, someone is staring at me.
What, like making eyes at you?
Yeah, I guess.
Where? Over there?
Oh, behind you. He's sort of small, like a little stack of money, and he has these big eyes, like googly eyes. He's staring at me.
You sound like you're sort of enjoying this.
Well...
That's it. No, I'm looking.
Oh!
What, that? That's the money we could be saving with Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com.
Keeping an eye on your wallet is what we do best, right here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Send the Money Matters team instant feedback at moneymattersboston.com or call in with your questions at 888-205-2263.
Rich girl, and you're gone. Welcome back to the Money Matters Radio Network. You found us on WBNW 1120 AM out of Needham, WPLM 1390 AM out of Plymouth, and WESO 970 out of Southbridge, Massachusetts. June Knight, along with Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're talking about asset protection today, so where do we begin?
So I think, you know, where we want to begin is how it fits into estate planning. Because oftentimes someone will say to me, you know, you're an estate planning attorney. Can you help me with asset protection? I'm thinking, well, that's kind of one and the same. I think when someone talks about estate planning, I think they're typically thinking, like, what happens when I die? What happens when I die? But I think, and I think this can be, you know, really attributed to the long-term care piece that we talked about last week. That has really put lifetime planning a little bit more on the map for people. And the asset protection that we're talking about this week, for those of you who just tuned in, is with respect to non-nursing home related issues. So, when we sit down, one of the things that we'll talk about is after we've got their plan in place, the documents in place, we'll look at the assets that they do have And we'll talk about maybe funding their trust, their living trust, their revocable trust, and what have you. But one of the things I'll always do with clients is let them know what assets would be exposed if they were ever to be sued. Mm-hmm. And here we're talking about it, you know, if you hit someone with your car, or you slander somebody, or you're sitting on a board and you maybe commit negligence in managing the board's money, whatever it ends up being. You've committed, or you're in a situation where your assets may be in jeopardy, and it's important to know what assets are exposed and if you have any protections and what you can do and when you can do it. So part of what we do is when we sit down and talk about estate planning is asset protection, and it oftentimes it comes in what we call our funding meetings when we're starting to fund the trust that we've set up. So I think, you know, really, that's how it fits in, and what we've noticed is a lot of times people will think, well, asset protection, aren't you talking about offshore trusts, and aren't you talking about people with tons of money to worry about losing? What we've found out, and I think it's particularly appropriate and poignant in the elder law arena, is that people who don't have as much, that stuff's worth a lot more to them.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so if you're talking about someone who maybe has a couple $100,000 in assets, losing $100,000 is a big deal, as opposed to maybe someone who has $50 million and maybe loses $10 million. You still got $40 million.
Right.
You're all set. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. And by the way, you can't take it with you.
Right.
So, you know, but you know, not to make light of that, it's important to everybody. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's applicable across the board and is really what we found. I think a lot of times what ends up happening is with asset protection, one of the things that we've seen is that there's this connotation to it a little bit, even a bad connotation when we start talking about it. It's almost like, well, how can you protect your assets? I mean, what are you going to try to do with them? Are you trying to hide them, or are you trying to – is it some sort of tax, you know, avoidance or evasion type of thing? And it's really not. I mean, that's not what we're talking about at all. I think historically – some of the asset protection techniques that are used were also used as techniques to maybe hide assets or to take some steps to avoid paying taxes. We never talk about that. Now, that's not what we do. We're not talking about not paying your income taxes. You're a U.S. citizen, a resident alien. You've got to report your worldwide income on your tax return. That's not what we're saying. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is, you know, there are things that you can do, or at least situations you can put yourself into, to make asset protection part of your estate planning. And really, there are a few things that need to be known and taken into consideration when you do that. The first is, you're not going to try to protect all of your assets here. You know, we're not talking about taking all of your assets and sticking them in a Cook Islands trust and saying, oh, we're all set. I'm not. I mean, just mainly because it's got to be realistic. I mean, who does that? You know, people who are trying to maybe who have just had something happen. And we're not trying to, and one of the things we're going to talk about is fraudulent transfer. We're not trying to defraud our creditors here. We're trying to take, it's more of a nest egg planning, at least how we approach it in our office. You know, there might be some assets we want to take off that may be accessible to creditors and maybe put them off so that, you know, they're in a situation where it's much more difficult to attach them. Mm-hmm. In case there is a judgment against you. So it's nest egg planning. And the other thing I talked about just in that statement is, we're not talking about, you know, you committing a tort and then coming into my office and dumping all of your assets to fraud the credit. We're talking about timing is a huge issue here. You know, you can't do that to a creditor, and we won't be a part of that when we talk about estate planning. What we're not talking about defrauding current creditors or future foreseeable creditors. Mm-hmm. It's the unknown, unforeseeable creditor that you can plan for. And we're not taking everything off the table here. Again, it's more of a nest egg. So those two things really need to be explained to the client because, quite frankly, in asset protection, when we're talking to our clients, they'll come in, and oftentimes when they're coming to talk about asset protection, I always want to say, what happened? Because nobody comes in to talk to you about these. I mean, they do. I shouldn't say that. And a lot of times something has happened to somebody else, and they want to come talk about it. But oftentimes, they're concerned about it once we've brought it up. Mm-hmm. Again, as we talk about every week, it's our job to bring these issues up, not their job to know about it. It's our job to bring it up to the client and then say, the client say, you know what, Brendan? I am kind of concerned about that. I'm glad you brought that up. So can you talk to me about what assets are, you know, would be exposed, and just so I have a working knowledge of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with respect to that, it's, again, about knowledge, about us bringing it up. It's not about the client who just, you know, hits someone with their car out in front of my office and then wheels in, they see our sign and tries to, you know, protect all their assets. We just, you know, won't be a part of that. Not to say that something, you know, some things can't be done last minute. There are always some things that can be done, but it's a much more precise and surgical process than just dumping your stuff. I mean, there's some things you can do, but you always have to be careful, and advisors have to be careful not to become a part of that too, just ethically.
Just a question.
Sure.
Do some of the clients want to dump too much stuff into a trust, only so that the nursing home won't get it? I want my kids to have it, and then now they're living in not poverty, but they've kind of cut themselves off a little bit too much.
You know, on the long-term care front, we see that a lot.
Really?
Because you may have had a situation where you were too aggressive in your planning. It's a great point that you bring up, because we have this conversation with clients all the time, and just this week I can think of two times when we're sitting down with clients, and that's been my concern. It is, I'd rather see you. In the long-term care setting, I'd rather see you put less into this trust than have to figure out some way to blow the trust up now that we've overfunded it. I mean, again, the concern is always the client. And taking care of the client, we don't want to impoverish the client from living. So, you know, again, there are these look-back periods in long-term care setting. It's a five-year look-back period, and with respect to fraudulent transfer statute of limitations, it's 4 years. So in both regards, you kind of have this look-back period when you start transferring things for someone to question the transfer. In that regard, you have 5 and 4 years. That's a long time. So oftentimes your predictions as to how much you can live with or live without are wrong. And you do run into those situations where someone has either, overfunded it. I'd rather have it underfunded, because if you underfund it, you can always maybe add to the trust
you
go along.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. In both areas of law, the general asset protection and even in the nursing home asset protection arena, you know, I would suggest, you know, starting slowly, you know, again, depending on health and the circumstances, but put something in and then see how that goes. See how you feel. See how it fits. I mean, a lot of this is a seasoning process, and for a client to feel good and understand what the trust does and how it works. Don't just put everything in there and then see, you know, what you can do with that 10 grand that you've kept for yourself for the next 10 years.
Right.
I mean, you know, and sometimes you have to be there and pop the balloon, and it's hard to do. And the kids are in there, and the kids have their concerns, and mom has her concerns, which oftentimes are for the benefit of the kids. So sometimes you're fighting for mom or dad, and they don't know it, and so everyone's kind of against what you're trying to say,
mm-hmm.
because they want to do what the kids want to do, because they want to appease the kids, and the kids, of course, want to protect everything, right?
Right.
want to protect that inheritance. So it is an uphill battle sometimes when you're looking at it from the nursing homes or from the nursing home planning perspective. From the general creditor perspective, oftentimes we're dealing with younger clients who may be professionals in construction or have their own businesses or physicians and that sort of thing. So it's a little bit of a different scenario. Very important, though, to not put things beyond their reach, even more so being that young.
Right.
And just having an understanding of what works, how it works, and educating them as to when something will work and why something won't, because there's a lot of misconceptions in asset protection, even among lawyers and particularly litigation attorneys, who will oftentimes ask me, this is in a corporation. Can I, you know, we can't touch that. Well, we can, because it's an asset. The stock in the company is an asset, and that can be attached. A lot of it is just having a good understanding of it. One of the things that we will talk about with clients is, and the most important thing, and sometimes asset protection has this kind of, and I know June's going to laugh, the sexy connotation, you know, as far as estate planning goes. It's kind of an exciting area of a lot of practice in, and I think mainly because sometimes you're talking about these offshore type troughs and, you know, what are these things? There's some sort of... And that's on one way end of the scale on asset protection. It's not like people are setting these things up all the time in our office. But there is a spectrum to or ladder, if you will, to asset protection. But one of the first things that we try to talk to our clients about is the simple stuff, you know, and in a real good way to protect your assets is insurance. You know, okay? You know, that's not something you need to talk to a lawyer necessarily about. And sometimes clients will be puzzled to come and talk to me, or we'll talk about asset protection. And I'll bring up insurance, and I don't sell it. And they're like, well, why did you do that? I'm like, because it's the simplest thing you can do right off the bat to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. Insurance is something that clients should look at as the first line of defense, and we'll get into that a little bit more when we get back.
Okay. 329, you heard it. From Brendan King himself, we will return. This is the Money Matters Radio Network.
Yellow Book presents Quick, Make a Decision, now. We place today's contestant, Bob, a small business owner, in a leaky boat in a tank with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I'm sinking.
Bob, what's the best way to find customers for your business? A, hand out pens with your name on it, or B, advertise in Yellow Book.
This thing is really sinking.
Then make a decision now.
Yellow Book!
Right. Yellow Book can help your customers find you online, on their mobile, or in the book. When your business needs help, Yellow Book it. To advertise, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit yellowbook.com today.
Are you concerned about avoiding federal and state estate taxes and or the probate process? Are you concerned about the high costs associated with long-term nursing home care? Or are you concerned about protecting your spouse's financial future in the event one of you were to enter a nursing home?
I'm Todd Lutzke, a partner with the law firm of Cushing & Dolan, here to tell you the attorneys at Cushing & Dolan not only specialize in these legal issues, but also understand the emotional and financial side that goes along with them. Cushing & Dolan will explain how to reduce your estate taxes, avoid probate, protect your assets from nursing home costs, and do so in easy-to-understand everyday language. Cushing & Dolan has been helping people resolve their estate and asset protection planning needs for 25 years. To let us help you, please call Todd Lutzke at 866-353-7287 to schedule you a free consultation. Today. That number again is 866-353-7287.
Tired of replacing expensive inkjet printer cartridges? Maybe it's time you replace the printer you put them in instead. Switch to a Kodak printer and stop overpaying for ink. With other inkjet printers, the way to save money on ink is to print less. But Kodak printers only use fairly priced ink. Get a new Kodak printer today at Walmart and join the thousands who've stopped overpaying for ink. Find out how much you overpay for ink at printandprosper.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Barry Armstrong. Is poor vision getting in the way of everyday life? Stop suffering from nearsightedness, farsightedness, or astigmatism by going to see Dr. Sate of the Sate Horsley Eye Center. Whether you need a LASIK procedure, a lens exchange, conductive keratoplastic, or any other advanced procedure, Dr. Sate will sit down with you for a free consultation to assess and identify a solution. I took the advice of friends and sent my wife to see Dr. Sate for a consultation because she was having trouble with both her distance and up-close vision. He suggested that she opt for a refractive lens exchange procedure. And let me tell you, she couldn't be happier. She's both glasses and contact lens free and has perfect 20/20 vision. Call 781-979-0960 to set up an appointment for a free consultation. Just imagine life free of glasses or contacts. Call 781-979-0960. That's 781-979-0960.
Those are the guys putting you to sleep. Your energy boost is right here on Boston's best source for financial news and information, the Money Matters Radio Network.
It's the Money Matters Radio Network, MoneyMattersBoston.com, streaming live on the web. Check us out. And studio lines wide open, and they're toll-free at 888-205-2263. Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices in studio, co-hosting today as he does every Wednesday from 3 until 4 o'clock. And we're talking about asset protection.
AP.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it sounds cool. I mean, yeah, you know, reminds me of all of a sudden high school. Remember, should take AP classes?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is different.
Going back to high school, yikes.
This is a little different
than
that.
Yeah, little different.
Is
little
that
more exciting.
Inside, you know, jargon, if you will, of all the lawyers getting together going, yeah, I'm doing AP, man. What are you doing now?
No, definitely not. But it is one of those areas that I think not a heck of a lot of lawyers, you know, get involved with. I think it's a it's an area that I find, you know, fascinating. Again, creative, part and parcel to estate planning. I don't think a lot of estate planning attorneys, you know, really jump into that. I think they should, because lifetime planning is important, or more important, even, you know, in my opinion, than death planning. But yeah, no, I don't it doesn't come up around the campfire or anything like that. The
cocktail
lawyer
receptions.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, it can be cocktail talk, you know, it's just like any of these other estate planning, you know, things that go on. You know, people talk about, you know, CRTs and, you know, all these fancy little acronyms that we come up with to make it sound more sophisticated than it probably really is. But it is. I mean, the area does have some really neat things with respect to planning, and as far as high level. You know, there are a lot of high level things you can do, and really one of the reasons I really like the area is it's almost an endless supply of knowledge, and it changes all the time. So what you learned maybe yesterday is not going to be allowed anymore, or they're doing something different and better now, or, you know, there's another way around to another way to skin that cat, if you will. Mm-hmm. We were talking about cat food at the during the break, so I'm trying to get as many cat references in here. By the way, what were you for Halloween?
Tiger.
That's right. So you know, it's a really neat area, and I don't know why I keep saying Bobby Brady neat. And I just
neat. That's such
me.
A 70s.
Yeah, that's so neat.
Brendan, I would think you would have to have a really cool, interesting personality and a great sense of humor because, you know, it's all about personality, really. You're dealing with not only somebody's life and, you know, their feelings and their emotions.
Sure.
And they're making some big decisions about their future and about what they work for their entire life and who they're passing it down to and how they're protecting it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. It's funny that you say that because a lot of times we're just talking about this, my partner and I, we'll sit there and we'll get to know a client pretty well. And then eventually, you know, we'll be talking about this. And it happened actually yesterday when I was talking to a client, and the client just, you know, would look at me, and it happens a lot. They'll say, well, what would you do? I'm thinking, like, what would I do? Well, you know, I don't know anything about your kids, really. I mean, you know stuff, but you don't know. You never know what goes on, you know, in someone's family. You just don't. You're not part of the family. So, but it is. I mean, at some point, they just have so much, you know, trust or faith in you, or they've told you so much that eventually they turn to you and say, well, how would you set it up?
And you must get that a lot.
Oh, we do. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. And you know, sometimes I'll suggest, well, adopt me and then just leave me everything. But no.
Put me in there. Put me in that list. Yeah.
Right. But no, we, you know, at times, you know, you are that social worker. You know, they'll call you and we have cases where we're very involved with the family and paying bills and so, you know, weird things come up and they'll talk to us about almost anything. And I'm serious about the fact, and I'm sure a lot of money managers or life insurance agents or whoever you are, or even accountants, you know, once you know someone's, you know, either tax return or their money, I mean, you might as well be like using their bathroom in the morning and
right.
like, you know, brushing your teeth at their sink because it's pretty intimate. And so after a while, the barriers are lost, and sometimes you want to say, you know, this isn't pillow talk. I'm not your spouse. You know, why don't you ask him or her?
Well, do you ever get that phone call from, say, the spouse or maybe one of the kids?
Yeah.
On the fly saying, hey, don't tell them I called you, but you really need to talk them into or out of?
You know, yes, unfortunately. And it creates, you know, an ethical dilemma. And one of the things that we do run into as estate planning attorneys is ethical dilemmas that crop up all the time. A kid calls and will ask for information about their parents. And it's a delicate balance because the clients are the parents. And, you know, there's a privilege there. And kids aren't entitled to walk in and find out about documents, ask questions. And
okay.
So we'll have to say, we've got to, you know, have your mom or dad call me and we'll be fine with this. And then suddenly we never hear a call.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah, it does.
That's how
come
that works.
Up. And actually, I've had situations, and representing spouses, believe it or not, is a conflict. You know, you've got to be very clear to them that, you know, if you're representing both, and it happens more often than not, but it's still technically a conflict. That, you know, you can't say anything without, and say you, the other can't know it because, you know, if one tells me something, I've got to tell the other. I mean, that's just kind of the way that mm-hmm. plays out.
Mm-hmm.
And despite me saying that, you know, the guy will go to the bathroom and say, I'm planning on divorcing him in 2 years. Like, I'm like, what did we just say?
Really?
You can't, like, yeah. So this stuff comes up. It's very awkward. But it's all about kind of laying the rules out. But again, people oftentimes don't pay attention to what you just said or forget. you know, what you said, and that makes the practice of law a little tricky. Because
or they have an agenda of some kind.
They
Who
do.
Knows?
Yeah, they do, and or they think that you were kidding for some reason when you said that. And it's like, no, I was actually kind of serious when I spent 25 minutes explaining that to you. I don't just have that kind of time to burn. But it's a fulfilling area. It's an area where you end up knowing a lot about the family and can really do a lot of good work for the family. But just as all families, when you start getting involved, you start to realize that there might be situations where there's conflict, there's adversity. In fact, a lot of times what will come up is when someone's picking a trustee. You know, someone may say, "Well, I'm going to pick the oldest son here or the youngest son, and he's going to be the trustee over my other son's trust." And there you're saying, "Well, wait a minute here. It's your job as a lawyer to say, okay, there's not, leaving some tax issues aside, I mean, just think of what that's going to do as a family dynamic." So, and they don't think of that, and it's our job as living these situations on the other side is to come back with that experience and kind of fill them in, is that, just common sense-wise, you probably don't want to do it. And I say, you know what, you're right, I never thought of that. Again, it's about advising, counselors at law, not just attorneys, which is what we do. But they're not supposed to know that. Like I always say, that's not their job to know that. But I think we kind of drifted off.
Yeah,
that's AP.
A good, because it's a good topic.
It is.
It really is.
It is. It is very interesting.
And people should know these things too before they come to you or somebody.
Yeah. No. It's amazing how popular the topic of asset protection has become in the past few years, and I think it's just it's a sign of what's going on there in the economy. People want to know, can I keep my stuff? People are being more litigious. They're suing. They're trying to, recoup money where they don't not having it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. And I just thinking back to the 80s, the mid to late 80s, my grandparents passed away, and I don't remember hearing anything about any of this back mm-hmm. then. So mm-hmm. a lot of things have changed in the last 25, 30 years.
I think planning has really gotten a lot more involved than it used to be. I mean, when I look at some of these old estate plans coming through, there were a lot more of just simple wills, mm-hmm. and I think the bursting of the living trust, which probably came out in the 80s, about having a trust that's separate from your will instead of inside your will. Mm-hmm. A few weeks back, we talked about the testamentary trust, and we talked about it a little bit last week when we were talking about nursing home planning.
Right.
But a trust inside your will is what we used to see all the time. Now we see it on occasion under special circumstances, because the idea now is to avoid probate if you can, for the most part. And that involves a living trust. And that whole, and building on a living trust and using living trust for different reasons has really kind of exploded. But planning has become a lot more involved in its own area of law. I think you saw more GPs doing more areas of law probably before that time.
Mm-hmm.
They just felt more comfortable. But same thing could be said for medicine or finance. I think the world has just become a lot more complicated. And I think it's tough for anyone to have a handle on anything anymore without being specialized.
And you're living 30 to 40 years after your retirement.
Yeah.
And more people are in these situations. So that's why we have Brandon King.
That's right.
We got to give you a call, too. Give you a plug. What's your contact info?
Okay. 71 Elm Street, Worcester, Massachusetts, 01609. Phone number is 508-751-5010. Again, 508-751-5010. And www.estatepreservationlaw.com. www.estatepreservationlaw.com.
Okay. So before the break, you teased us a little bit. We talked about why insurance is mm-hmm. important. And I know you wanted to stick on that or move on. Where were we?
Well, I think what we were just talking about is just the fact that, again, getting that insurance, making sure the insurance you have is applicable to what you're doing. I met with a client Friday, and we were discussing topics about LLCs, and I eventually told him that, well, I guess we're going to find out in a little bit about that. That was a tease. You got me, pushed that stone rolling down the hill, and then I got to get out of the way.
I didn't see the clock, but yeah, we'll be back. Okay. This is the Money Matters Radio Network.
We get suddenly both annoyed. We don't talk too much about it. Ain't no real big secret of the same somehow.
New artist Brooke White talking about radio.
I grew up listening to a lot of Carole King, and it's funny because whenever I hear I Feel the Earth Move Under My Feet on the radio, I still like crank it up and get excited. I've heard it a million times. I could listen to the CD, but when it comes on the radio and it's like unexpected or spontaneous, which is kind of, I think, a cool part about the radio, you don't know what's coming next. And I always get excited when I hear that.
Radio, radio, tell me what I wanna know.
for new artist Brooke White, inspiration can strike at any time. And radio's the place where it all begins. Spontaneous, exciting, and always something new every day. Radio. To learn more, go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Spread the word. Now you can build your better breakfast at Subway.
Breakfast, breakfast, yay, breakfast.
And it's made just how you like it.
I like egg whites.
On an English muffin.
Black forest ham. Nothing better.
And American cheese.
Jalapenos and tomatoes.
Subway now has breakfast, like the Western Egg White Muffin Melt. Fresh toasted and made just the way you want, only at Subway.
Subway! Yes.
Products may vary, may be available from opening to 11 a.m. at participating restaurants.
Somewhere in America, David Ortega is waiting at a busy airport. Kim Healy is waiting in traffic. And a whole country is waiting for a better way to travel. Siemens high-speed trains. They go 220 miles an hour with less carbon emissions. And we could build them right here. Fast answers bring people together. And the over 60,000 U.S. employees of Siemens have more answers every day. Siemens. Visit Siemens.com/answers.
Hi, everyone. This is Barry Armstrong. Is poor vision getting in the way of everyday life? Stop suffering from nearsightedness, farsightedness, or astigmatism by going to see Dr. Sate of the Sate Horsley Eye Center. Whether you need a LASIK procedure, a lens exchange, conductive keratoplastic, or any other advanced procedure, Dr. Sate will sit down with you for a free consultation to assess and identify a solution. I took the advice of friends and sent my wife to see Dr. Sate for a consultation because she was having trouble with both her distance and up-close vision. He suggested that she opt for a refractive lens exchange procedure. And let me tell you, she couldn't be happier. She's both glasses and contact lens free and has perfect 20/20 vision. Call 781-979-0960 to set up an appointment for a free consultation. Just imagine life free of glasses or contacts. Call 781-979-0960. That's 781-979-0960.
Right on to MoneyMattersBoston.com to find a Money Matters Radio Network affiliate near you.
-46 degrees on this Wednesday and 3:47, and I am with Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester, Junite. And, you know, I'm looking out the window, Brendan. It's getting dark already.
I know. Well, that could be because we had a blind here, but no, I... Yeah. It was. I mean, I think you and I were talking about it before we started. It's been great for a long time. I mean, it really has. We had a little break in the weather. What was it, Saturday? Was it Saturday?
Yeah, I didn't even count that because it was kind of cool and windy outside, so it was kind of just not really much of a break.
I didn't take my flag in, and we have one of those heavy, like, carpet flag. Well, it's not like the nylon flag. It's a heavy cloth flag. It's 13 stars and all that stuff. But it got so heavy with the rain that it pulled off from my house.
Oh, no.
And so, you know, stuff like that. I'm just not a big into the house kind of guy. I couldn't even take the flag in. the problem is because I live up high, and we had a lot of heavy hail and heavy rain and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, we really did.
So that pulled my flagpole down.
So now what? What do you do?
I don't know. I'll have to have someone help me figure out what's going to happen with that because it kind of pulled it stripped the screws out of the... It doesn't look like it's a big deal, but it's
That's
definitely a big deal
wind.
For me.
Yeah. So do you get a ladder out of the... go up and just go for it?
Well, you know, I probably won't because I can stand and do it.
Okay.
So I probably
You're a tall guy.
Yeah, I can probably stand and undo the screws and stuff. But, I mean, it looks like it did some damage to, like, the clapboards because it's one of those ones that's up against the house, you know, and it kind of pulled off. And it was 2 days before I even checked it out because I saw it, like, fall like this. And I saw it. I was like, ugh, I'll just deal with that later. So last night I got home. I played tennis last night, and I got home after that. And it was late, and I saw the thing hanging down. Again, I just got to go over, so I stopped the car, get out, go check it out. Yeah, it stripped right out of the wall.
Oh,
and,
that's too bad.
Yeah.
You got to take care of that.
Yeah, and my wife gets upset because I'll do, like, these little, like, Brendan projects, like, and I'll just get motivated to fix it, like, at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night.
Hey, get it while it's coming, right?
Yep.
Hey,
and the problem is that I don't have really the skill set or the inclination or the desire to do it. So all that combined with the fact that, like, it's late and I'm tired anyway, eyes, and I've got the Phillips head out. I'm trying to like do it, and then like the littlest thing, the slip, and then the hit into the thumb, and
not good.
No, not good. So
Brendan, not in a good mood.
No, not in a good mood.
Yet, at least,
especially when I lost my tennis match too. That was really. If I had won it, I would have been up all night sweeping the floors and cleaning.
Send Brendan to his cave.
That's
Leave him alone. Stay away. But it's, I mean, as far as like it's getting to be nighttime now at 10 minutes of 4.
Oh yeah,
that's very sad.
I know it is. It is. The good thing is December 20. Was it 21 or 20?
21st.
It starts getting lighter again. So there's some psychological pleasure to that. Although I will say this, I always forget how long winter is. Even though it starts to get lighter, it fools me every year. Because you get by the holidays, and then you get through January, and you get through February, and you're thinking like, okay, when February's done, like we're done. But a lot of times, it's not till like the end of April that you can do that. We have two more months.
We have 6 months of just cruelty here in New England.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we really don't see that light thing happening until February or so.
Yeah.
Like end of February.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it's light at 5.
And I suppose, like, and then people are like, well, you got to get into the winter sports and skiing. And I used to snowboard. And
old for that stuff now.
I can't fall down anymore.
I can get up.
No.
How about trying to get up?
My buddy's like, hey, let's go. What is it? Oh, carve. That's the word. Let's go carve the hill, man. And I'm like, no. Yeah. Those days.
What are you, like 17?
Those days are gone beyond me. You know, if I, yeah. I'm like aching in the morning, like bending over and it's just this, you know, I can't fall down and I can't back up.
You can't do it. You can't get up.
I mean, I'm laughing
it's
even
thinking
about it.
It's that old commercial of falling and I can't get up that we used to make fun of. And now that's us.
Sitting there with the little Medi Alert like around my neck. Tell my buddies to come pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, and they still harass me. Oh, you got to get the kids up there. You got to get the kids up there. And, you know, and I can't afford to get hurt. You know, if I fall down, I've got like the whole osteoporosis thing going now. Like, I'll be a shatter my hip, and then I'll be in the friggin' nursing home.
This all sounds pretty hot, Brendan. I don't know about you.
But you know what? I think we talked about this last week. Think of the business I could generate if I was in the nursing home. You know?
Oh, you're going to be that guy. If and when you do get to the home, you're going to be that guy. You're going to have your estate planning, binder out.
Right.
And you're going to be planning all the activities in the home.
Trying to defray the cost of my stay by giving free seminars and handing out free plans. You know?
We'll be in the lounge with the bird and the piano.
Right.
Doing
exactly.
The estate planning.
Sitting there shuffling my slippers and my bathrobe. And
making the speech. That,
talking about
you.
Why you need to have a power of attorney. Yeah, yes, Mrs. Witherspoon, you in the back. How are your crepes this morning? Good? Oh, good, good, good.
Yeah. You're going to be that. It'll be a long time from now, believe me. You still have a long way to go before that stuff happens.
Yeah, and I got to get the half glasses, though, you know, the ones that kind of go down with the, and then you get the beads around the, that hold them around your neck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get the whole look going. But
okay.
I think where we were talking about the client I met with to kind of transition the insurance over into this, the corporation. And, interested in setting up an LLC. A single individual, and what I had essentially told them was this LLC was not going to offer them any asset protection because, and a lot of times people just think, oh, I'll just throw a corporation or an LLC on it, it'll be fine. And one of the things that you should always be aware of is that you're always, the actor is always liable for their actions. So if I have a LLC in my name and I'm practicing law by myself, and I advise my wife the same way, who's starting her own practice, and I commit malpractice, that LLC is not going to protect me from liability. I'm still going to be sued. You know, it's my actions. The LLC is not going to do a thing, especially when I don't have any employees or anything else. So, obviously, if I have a partner involved in the organization, for instance, if my partner and I have an LLC, her actions are, you know, as far as any kind of negligence she would commit would insulate me. The LLC would insulate me personally from liability. That's the point. It's that crossing up. That offers the actual protection. So what I was saying to the individual, getting back to the insurance, is just you got to get some insurance. The LLC is is fine, and certainly he wanted to set it up, you know, because another company wanted him to set it up, and that's fine. But I always want my clients to understand what it's actually going to do, and in this case it's not going to really do much. Now there's always the perception, and a lot of asset protection is deterrence. And again, I talked to you a little bit about before is, you know, there are there's a lot of lack of knowledge, a real knowledge about how asset protection works. And so sometimes you'll have an individual, maybe even a lawyer, that will say like, oh wow, he's got an LLC, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may not understand that. I mean, I think a lot of us do, but you're always hoping on the deterrent factor. Well, you know, it's kind of the Wizard of Oz, if you will. Don't look behind the curtain, you know, a big booming voice, and hopefully you'll be scared off from ever looking behind the curtain. And I think that's sometimes the idea. One of the biggest parts of asset protection is creating that deterrence. Now, the insurance is always nice to have, because before they even look into your personal stuff or your LLC, if you have enough insurance there, that'll be enough, hopefully, to cover the costs of whatever the damage was. Mm-hmm. And now, to the extent it's not, whoever is suing or has a judgment against you always has the option to then, once the insurance is gone, is to go look at what you have to pay off this judgment, because the judgment's against you as an individual. So at that point, you start looking at those assets. So I explain this to clients, because it's very important to understand, is do you have enough insurance? What if you were sued? What do you think the judgments would be? These are the things that what exposure do you have? And on our intake sheet, which we went over several weeks ago, you probably remember I talked and asked clients about things that they have on their property, pools, trampolines. You know, they probably think I'm a P&C guy, but I'm not. I really want to know, you know, what things that they have that create liabilities, what attractive nuisances they may have, what boards they sit on. A lot of nonprofit boards may not have the appropriate insurance. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of getting the old umbrella insurance policy. I'll ask them about that. You know, make sure you have enough. It's the cheapest dollars you can spend to get some real good solid protection. And they'll ask me, well, how much should I get? And I'll say, how much will they sell you? Because it's real cheap, and as things go, and it's nice to have that in hand, in pocket.
A lot of people just don't have enough. We have Michael Wish, our insurance in-house insurance guy from Michael Wish Insurance, and that's what he says every show.
Sure.
You know, for a few more dollars, you get so much more.
Right. Right.
Absolutely. Just go for it.
Go for it. Go for it. You know, I couldn't agree more, and I honestly do tell clients that. And obviously, because I'm not actually stroking that check,
right,
there's a reality to that. So I always say, how much will they sell you? And the point is for me to make the comment, get as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, there's a reality to paying for it, but certainly it is good advice to give, and certainly good advice for him to give as well. Because that's really your first line of defense. If you can have some insurance there, someone who's coming after you is just going to want to get the insurance and go and be on with their life. They're not necessarily, they don't want to be chasing you down in this bank account and then attaching. They're not going to want to do any of those little extras. They're just going to want to get the insurance and go.
Mm.
Also, too, if you have some good insurance, that insurance company is going to get involved in the fray, and hopefully will not necessarily be on the same page as you. You'll probably have your own attorney as well, but you know, a lot of times their understanding of the fact of, hey, we're here to cover this, and if it's covered, and I think that's all the more reason to have an agent to work with, because when I sit down with my clients, I'd want them to have someone that they can sit down with to discuss this thing, to make sure they're covered, because sometimes you think you might be covered for something you're not, and to run through the scenarios. That's why I'm makes me kind of cringe to see all these companies out there who just push boxes, and you see these progressive, and they're selling boxes off the shelf. It's not boxes off the shelf, it's your life, and as you pointed out earlier, everyone's different. So how can you buy something off the shelf like it's a commodity? If you need someone to run that through with you, make sure that this is appropriate and fits what you're involved with, you know, what your particular actions are, so that if there is any kind of malpractice, negligence, malfeasance, whatever it is, that you will be covered. And if you're not covered, you want to know that ahead of time. Up and beyond that, we're going to talk about, and we'll probably do it on future shows, things like LLCs, corporations. Maybe we'll do that the next time we sit down and go over things like trusts and how trusts get involved, because I think there's a huge misconception as to, particularly with the LLC, corporation, and I think I alluded to it a little bit with respect to the individual I sat down with, is that, you know, what you're protected for, how asset protection works with these entities, with these trusts that you would set up, what the different ones are, what your level of involvement can be, and just to kind of put people, you know, at ease as far as, because I think it will put you at ease once you have the knowledge. It does, because then you can prepare for it. And I think not being prepared for something like that is kind of what would put me at unease or ill at ease, if you will. So,
okay, let's give out your contact information. It's Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices, and your phone number is
508-751-5010, 508-751-5010.
And your website?
www.estatepreservationlaw.com, www.estatepreservationlaw.com.
Okay, thanks, Brendan. We'll see you back here next Wednesday.
All right, see you then.
Okay, have a great week.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Money Matters Radio Network. This is the Money Matters Radio Network. WBNW 1120 AM Concord, Boston. WPLM 1390 AM Plymouth. And WESO 970 AM Southbridge. This is the Money Matters Radio Network. It's the home of Tom O'Brien and Stu Taylor. The Money Matters Radio Network.
I have aging parents, and I hear a lot about how one parent can lose almost all of their assets when the other parent unexpectedly enters a nursing home. Is this true? And should I really be concerned about it?
It absolutely is true. And yes, you should be concerned about it. I'm Todd Lutzke, a partner at the law firm of Cushing & Dolan, and your Wednesday morning co-host of Money Matters. And very little bothers me more than when I see how one spouse